Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So during this season of Lent, under the theme, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good," our goal has been to strengthen our trust in God. The evil of men betrayed and condemned and crucified Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. And the evil of men and evil in our world continues to affect our lives today. And in the face of that evil, God asks us to trust him. He brought the greatest good for us and all mankind through the evil done to his son, and knowing that helps us trust that he can do that and that he will do that with any evil that's done to us. Tonight's service is a kind of a break in the action, if you will. Tonight's not really a night to be really somber, but rather to be quietly joyful because of the gift that Jesus gave to us on this night. Luke records Jesus as saying, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." That Passover gathered up and brought to fruition so many things from the past, and the events from the past gave meaning to that night. It isn't saying too much to say that all of history was turning a corner that night. Jesus gave a gift that will last until he returns in glory, and so it's right to say that this was an eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat. The Passover Luke records happened about the year 30 AD, but the very first Passover took place more than 1,400 years before, beginning with the first events in Egypt, with Moses and Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and God's rescue. Every Passover through the centuries had been pointing to and leading up to that night with Jesus and his disciples. The descendants of Jacob, whose name God had changed to Israel, had now become a nation. They were 12 tribes. They were enslaved by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the thinking of the day was that something like that was only possible because the Egyptian gods were stronger than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But through plagues, the true God changed that perception. The final plague would not harm those whose homes were marked by the blood of the Lamb as the angel of death passed over them. And with an outstretched arm, God brought the Israelites out of slavery. He brought his people through the waters of the Red Sea, and with those waters drowned their Egyptian enemies. As they stepped out onto dry ground, they stepped into a new life. The Passover meal began as a remembrance of that. And down through the centuries, the people were supposed to remember. But they didn't always remember very well. The history of God's people was certainly up and down. God was eager and willing to be their God. But they wanted it both ways. They wanted to be his people, and at the same time, be the people of the Baals and the people of Molech and the people of the other gods of the nations around them. But a covenant with the true God is exclusive. He'll have no rivals. And Israel broke that covenant. What that showed was that that covenant Israel broke was really in need of something greater. And in hindsight, we can see that God had always planned it this way. Those past events were always pointing toward something much bigger. And so that night in the upper room, with sin and evil just outside the door, and with quarreling disciples seated with their master, you could almost hear the cry of every prophet and believing Israelite, "How long, O Lord? How long until you deliver us again? How long will your people wander? When will you do a new thing?" And the answer was, tonight, right now. That night remembered the past mercy of God and magnified it. On that night, Jesus confronted the slavery of all the gods of the world, and even Satan himself. He faced that slavery and he took hold of it and would not let it go. On that night, Jesus freed sinners and invited them to the table. It all came together that night in the Passover that Jesus desired to eat. What happened that evening and the hours that followed truly were the turning point in human history. Jesus embraced the old even as he created something new. Now, not utterly new, with no connection to the old, but larger, new in the sense of renewed, larger and stronger and much more beautiful. And Jesus begins that turning point in history with a ritual that the disciples have known their entire lives. He takes a cup that's part of an old ceremony, and he blesses it, and he asks them to divide it among themselves. And then he says, "That's it. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, until that great and last day." Then, turning from the old, Jesus gives them something new. This was completely new. None of the Gospels tell us how the disciples reacted when Jesus said completely unexpected things. They don't say, so we shouldn't speculate. It really isn't important. But it was new. "This is my body, which is given for you. As you have remembered deliverance from long ago, now you will have a new deliverance to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That was really new. And it must have really shocked the disciples. They had never ingested blood. They were Jews, and God required them to pour out the blood of the animals they killed, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, Moses told us. The letter to the Hebrews says over and over again that the new deliverance of Jesus is a one and done, once and for all, unrepeatable and unrepeated. Jesus will be the Lamb whose blood is over the people and whose death protects the people from God's wrath, from the angel of death, from every evil. His death, one and done, once and for all, enables the people to leave slavery behind and be God's people in freedom and mercy. Jesus is the new and greater Passover Lamb. But there's even more. Jesus isn't just the Lamb who protects them from death. He is also the deliverer, the leader, the one infinitely greater than Moses, whom God chose to deliver Israel. Jesus is both sacrifice and deliverer. And in the moment that began on Thursday evening, Jesus performs a new exodus. Jesus goes ahead of his disciples, ahead of his enemies, ahead of everyone into death, the death on the cross. He goes ahead of us so that we don't have to die for our sins. But he also goes through death, through the sea, and he comes out onto dry ground to a new life that leaves our sins drowned in death, permanently undone. That year, the old Passover, like all Passovers, would have ended approximately 6 o'clock on Friday evening. What Jesus is doing didn't end at all. He rose to life as the Lamb who was slain but who now lives. He is Lamb and Deliverer. He did it for his disciples. He did it for you and for the whole world. It was the eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat so that he could do something new for us and for all people of all ages. Centuries of longing and promise were being fulfilled in Jesus, and all of history changed as he did something new. Sunday would show that he truly is the Lamb and the Deliverer for all of us, one and done, once and for all. But the events of that night, they were for the future too. We know that because of two specific words that Jesus said: until and remembrance. Twice Jesus says until. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And two verses later, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Until. The other word is remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Even though the unique and eternal things that Jesus will do are one and done, once for all, that new meal that he gave to his disciples is truly a gift that keeps on giving. The Greek carries the meaning, keep on doing this. The events of that night push out into the future and around the world as the gospel goes out and is believed and people celebrate that meal with Jesus. That new gift, that new meal came from the upper room through the cross and out of the empty tomb to us, because Jesus lives, and the living Jesus gives us his body and his blood. And he tells us, remember. He doesn't just mean recall something that you might only do in your head, but remember and believe. Remember and give thanks. Remember the way my people are supposed to remember. On that night, we were brought out of slavery. On that night, we were freed from sin and guilt. On that night, Jesus, our Lamb of God, gave himself for you, for me. The gift is real. Your remembering it doesn't make it real, and my remembering it doesn't determine whether the living Christ gives us his body and blood for us to eat and drink. We don't make that happen. Jesus does. But remembering in faith, remembering in humility, remembering in need is how all of God's gifts are received to our benefit, to our blessing. You see, remembering is faith. Faith that says, yes, Lord, your gift is here again for us, protecting us from the death of our sins. Your gift is here again for us, strengthening us as we draw together in love for one another. We remember that you, Lord, are here again for us, and that you will continue to be until. See, that's the second word. The gift of Jesus stretches out into the future until it's fulfilled in the full reigning of God, until the reign of God comes in all of its glory and power. So in a sense, the Lord's Supper is a temporary gift until that feast that is coming. That's why we say it's a foretaste of the feast to come, until that feast that is coming appears, a banquet at which death will finally be swallowed up forever. A banquet with a table at which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are sitting. At which a believing criminal is sitting. At which all who remember and believe will be sitting. A banquet that by God's mercy, you and I will be sitting at. That night, past, present, and future came together. It was an eternal Passover that Jesus ate with his disciples that night. The past fulfilled, the present changing all of history, and the future reaching out even to today. And Jesus earnestly desired to eat of it that night. He earnestly desired it because he loves his Father and was eager to do the Father's will, to carry out the Father's plan. Jesus earnestly desired to eat that Passover that night because he loved sinners. He loved his disciples, he loved his enemies, and he loved you and loves you still. And his promise is that he always will. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.